Blog Talk Radio.
For the Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay close attention, for the Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay close attention, for the Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. The Lord has something to say. Listen, listen. Pay close attention, for the Lord has something to say. The Lord will bless someone today. I got to bless someone today. The Lord will bless someone today. The Lord will bless someone today. It could be you, it could be you. It could be me. It could be someone by your side. It could be you. It could be me. It could be someone by your side. The Lord will bless someone today. The one long someone tonight. The Lord will bless someone tonight. The Lord will bless someone tonight. It could be you, it could be you. It could be me. Could be someone by my side. Could be you. Could be me. Could be someone by my side. The Lord will bless someone tonight. The Lord will bless someone tonight. The Lord will bless someone today. The Lord will bless someone today. It could be you, could be me, could be someone by our side. Could be you, it could be me, it could be someone by our side. Yes, Lord bless someone today. Thank you, Jesus. We are running the race to meet our Redeemer. We are running the race to meet our Redeemer. Heavenly rain, heavenly rain, heavenly rain, to meet our Redeemer. I am running the race to meet my Redeemer. We are running the race to meet our Redeemer. Heavenly rain, heavenly rain, heavenly rain, to meet our Redeemer. We are running the race to meet our Redeemer. I am running the race to meet my Redeemer. Heavenly race, heavenly race, heavenly race, to meet my Redeemer. Oh, Redeemer, we are running the race to meet our Redeemer. I am running the race to meet our Redeemer. Heavenly race, heavenly race, heavenly race, to meet our Redeemer. Oh, Redeemer, I am running the race to meet our Redeemer. We are running the race to meet our Redeemer. Oh, Redeemer, heavenly race. Heavenly rain, heavenly rain, to meet the Redeemer. We are running the race to meet the Redeemer. I am running the race to meet the Redeemer. Heavenly rain, heavenly rain, heavenly rain, to meet our Redeemer. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Help us to run this race this year, oh God. Help us to run this race this year, oh God. We shall not fall away. God, we shall focus on you. We shall run this race to the end. God, we shall not fall away halfway. God, we shall not fail you. God, we shall be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, Lord, have your way. And bless us even tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Yeah, before we go to the test, Joshua chapter 1, the Lord was showing me people running a race. As I was worshiping in the spirit, the Lord, I saw in the spirit people running a race. And I said, Lord, what is this? The Lord was showing me that we are in a race. We are racing in a direction. And then my mind went to that scripture where it says, if you are running this race, lay down every weight that may weigh you down. Whatever weighs you down, lay it aside. Whatever drags you behind, lay it aside. Whatever holds you back, lay it aside. I said, Lord, we are running a race in 2023. Yes, we are running a race in 2023. The race to meet our Redeemer, to meet the Lord, to be with the Lord, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to do his work, to do his will. And then my mind was directed to that scripture where it says, if you are running a race, whatsoever weighs you down, drop it. Everything that holds you back, drop it. Whatsoever is not comfortable, convenient for you as you are running the race, throw it aside. You don't need anything to hold you down while you are running this race. By the grace of God, we shall run this race to the end in the name of Jesus. We shall not run this race halfway through. In the name of Jesus, we shall run this race from January to December again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because some people run the race half. They stop halfway and they can't continue. But by the grace of God, whatever will hold us from running this race to the end, we put it aside. Every besetting thing. Whatever we drag us behind in running this race, we lay it aside in the name of Jesus.
Before you arrive.
Whatever we make us to slow down in running this race, we remove it from our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatsoever will not help us to run this race, we throw it away from our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we shall run this race with our hands lifted to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking on the Jesus, of our faith in the name of Jesus Christ.
So.
Amen, amen. Y'all welcome in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, our Honorable Professor Akwabo Solomon, God bless you. How are you doing?
Bless your heart, Bishop, Archbishop. How do you do?
Yes,
how do you
fine.
Guys do?
Yes, fine. Yes. We're going to let Professor Solomon Akwabo to share with us as the Spirit of God will lead him. And then Lady Evangelist Mama Lawa is going to follow. So we're going to let our professor come in first while we all listen. And many others are keen in on the social media. Some are joining us on the phone and
from our Facebook and Twitter and link and so on. I can see the computer showing the numbers here. The audience is international audience. We have all nations, all tribes, every tongue represented.
Amen.
So we're going to listen to the man of God, and then after that, we're going to listen to the woman of God. I tell you, God is going to bless us today. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Going to bless us. Amen. The Lord will bless us once today. They love it, bless our one today. They love it, bless our one today. They love it, bless our one today. It could be you, it could be me, it could be someone by my side. It could be me. In the middle of one by my side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah, amen. So over to you, Professor Solomon Akwabo. Let's hear what God is going to be saying to you today. Yes, welcome. Over to you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. First of all,
amen.
Let's start with a word of prayer.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, O God, for your graciousness.
Yes, sir.
Thank
yes.
you, God, for today.
Yes.
Thank you for the bread. For the bread that you've given us today.
Thank
the
yes.
day, O Father, that you've given us. Your immeasurable love.
Yes, sir.
Your omnipotence, life and knowledge upon us, O God. Your wisdom.
Yeah.
And the greatest of all, O God, for the gift of your Son. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, right from his birth, O Father, O God, he was a carbon copy of God in righteousness, like the Archbishop said, that I should enumerate on you, on the life of the youth. A carbon copy of God right from his youth, in righteousness, in perfection, in social well-being, and even, O Father, in his sufferings, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven, and even, O Father, in giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit by sending the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. Lord, we thank you, O Father.
Yes.
For this, O God, is incarnated. Our provisions, our needs, O God, our needs, the most important one and the greatest of all, is to be free, O God, from the burden of sin. Burden of sin, economic and political oppression, O Father. O Father, enjoyment of marriage, setting marriage free. And making marriage, O Father, something, O Father, great for the children of God. We thank
yes.
you, O Father.
Yes.
Marriage
yes,
and
God.
Family. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, the Archbishop has incurred and called on me to speak on the youth, the life of the youth. Example of the clear life of the youth is seen in the person and the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ right from birth. The Bible says that he grew in what? In wisdom and strength.
Yes.
Physically in wisdom. And the Bible also states that at the age of 12, that he was so intelligent and wise enough to dialogue. Even when his parents were returning from the worship in the temple, that he decided to be inclined enough to discuss, to sit down and discuss with the very wise men of his time in the temple, indicating the fact that He was wise. Not through the endeavability of human beings, but through his complete dependence on God and the power of God. Likewise, does the Bible speak about John the Baptist, that he grew in wisdom and in strength. The youth will never be able to do fine except they have been taught by their mothers and fathers. And the elders around them, and even the society, what I mean by the society is the school, the church, and even the council of elders around them, giving them that victorious training, a training that is full of virtues in growing up, that they will grow up with that. You look at our youth today, and you reason and think. You look at our youth today and what they do. But at a certain age, they have not reached that denominating fact, age of life, that they could be independent of everything, except in their spiritual well-being. You look at them and you ask yourself, what is this that is going on? And you look around, you see public new insanity, even in Facebook and other places. Not just the youth. These people are going into adulthood and they're behaving that way. Public insanity. Not public sanity. Where is public morality and sanity? Where is it? What is going on in the society that the youth are turning into armed robbery and kidnapping? And 419, playing 419. Some of them call themselves youth. You're supposed to be a youth, or you're supposed to end your youthfulness at the age of 25 or 23 or so, like I do. From the age of 22, 23, you're an adult. In this country, from the age of 18, my own started. I started being an adult, maybe because I was being groomed very fine by my parents and taught the Christian right from my youth. I started being an adult at the age of 14, 15. I was not exposed to the things, to the wiles of the devil and the things of this life. I grew in the scriptures, and I grew also in the word of God. I grew also through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit gave me the inability to live for Christ, and I lived for Christ all my life. And I became determined in everything. Because of living for Christ, I became aspiring, inspiring, determined to succeed, in spite of whatsoever adversity I'm facing in life. And the Lord helped me. And I'm so glad I made it. But I think that the true model of the youth should be seen in John the Baptist. First of all in Christ, then in John the Baptist. And other biblical figures, like Isaac. The Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. Right from when he was a young man, before he got married to Rebecca. And the Lord answered him, like Jacob. Even though Jacob's life was a little bit twisted, you know, because he was kind of like trickish. And I always ask God, why? Why this? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Over while I was teaching in a faculty somewhere in the university, somebody who was my friend, an unbeliever, asked me, why did God choose to love Jacob? But look at it this way. The struggles that Jacob went through, the hardship, even though Isaac blessed Jacob, and in turn gave half of the blessing also, only half, to Esau. But the full blessing went to Jacob. Jacob suffered more than Esau, because Esau stayed at home and inherited the wealth of the father and even the wealth of the mother. But Jacob went away to the uncle, remember, and he lived there with the uncle and, you know, and suffered and suffered and suffered. Even though Jacob was a little bit trickish, more trickish than Jacob, than Esau, you know. The Bible says in everything that he confessed God, he confessed his sin. The difference between Esau and Jacob is that even though Jacob was very tricky and cunning in his ways, he called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of, and he confessed his sin. He repented of his sin. See, one of the ways to grow as a youth is always to put your sin across. Put your sin across. Put your sin across. The Bible says, whosoever hides his sin will never prosper. That's what the book of Proverbs says. And I've been around Christians. I'm a Christian. I confess my faith every now and then. Whosoever does not confess his sin, whosoever, I don't care how rocky you are in the church, whether you are, whosoever, if you don't confess, I always teach my own friends and people and Christian people, my good friends. First of all, you got to confess your sin. And the Lord Jesus taught us that. He says, in the Lord's Prayer, he says what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. After giving thanks like that, he says, and forgive us of our trespasses. But in many Christian fellowships and Christian union and scripture, you don't hear confession of sins anymore. What you hear about is the placement on how to get rich, prosperity sermon. And you hear the preacher always say, I prophesy on you. There's nothing wrong to prophesy on someone. But if you want to prophesy in the name of the Lord. Because it's not your prophecy. If God is, if it's really true, I mean, if you are really prophesying truly, it must come from the Lord. Except it's not from the Lord. You cannot just say, servant of Christ, I prophesy on you. It's not your prophecy. You will never hear Prophet Jeremiah. Look at the book of Jeremiah carefully. You will never hear Prophet Jeremiah say, I prophesy. Who said the word of the Lord came unto me? So you hear these things, but you just, what I'm trying to say is the youth have to confess his sin always. There are 10 sins, the 10 commandments that the Lord forbids his people not to commit, but by nature. By the nature of Adam, being people of dust, we are all people of dust. We are weak. Yes, we are sanctified in the blood of Christ, but we are weak. Our adversary, the devil, roams around. If you don't, you can't just say, I don't commit sin. Sin everywhere. But you have to avoid sin. Also, as you try to avoid, you confess. You look at the prayers of the Bible carefully. You see people of God, when they come to God, first of all the true prayers of the Bible, what do they say? Even the publican, when he was praying, he said, Lord, forgive me, sin. The youth has to confess his fault to move forward, to move to the next level. You have to confess your fault and your sin. And forsake yourself, and you have to forgive the other person. Without forgiveness of the other person, you cannot be forgiven. And the other person too, who is a Christian that has sinned against you, when he knows in his conscience and guilt that he has sinned against you, has to come to you and ask for forgiveness. These are matters that you don't see anymore being taught and preached. They say, I'm old school. I will remain old school. because old school makes me to succeed in life. I'm not old, I'm still a young man. But those patterns of righteousness and holiness make me to succeed. So the youth have to go back and look at their life, especially the Christian youth. The model for me is also Peter Obi. He's a politician. But look at him, he's very humble. He prostrates and he confesses faults. And every testimony about Peter Obi is that there is no iota of guilt and sin in him, even his enemies. Let me use that as an example. When he started Bugari prompted the EFCC to investigate him, and they did. And you know what they came out with? They came out with a clean note for him. His enemies came out with it. In his slate, they said there's nothing. So to succeed, our youth, family, Christian leaders and Christian people, they need to start seeing themselves as people that are full of depravity, only by the grace of God, through the righteousness of Christ. John chapter 1, first John says, if you confess your sin, it is faithful. So to move forward, to move to the other level, you know, in this life, a life of blessing, you got to really examine your way. Every now and then examine your ways, you know, and the Lord will help you. He will surely hear your cry. He will surely wipe away your tears, just like he's done for those in retrospect. Those in the past, he will do the same for you. You know, but when you don't see yourself that way, and you think you are equal with the angels of God and with the righteousness of God, then I'm not sure of how that is going to be possible. These are the virtues that will build up family. The same thing with the father and mother. That the father and mother, as a group, as a couple in Christ, they need to listen to one another. And go back to what the Bible teaches, that the man has to love his wife, and the wife has to be submissive. Has to be submissive. If you as a woman, if you don't submit, how is your husband going to be able to be with you? Submit to the level 10. And you, the man, you have to concentrate with your wife and love your wife in humility. The same thing with the woman.
Yes.
These are the things that will build up a good foundation for any family and for any marriage. Putting Christ first. When I was growing up, we used to have them in my father's living room. I remember when I turned like 9, 10 years of age, 11, 12, saw this emblem. Christ is the center of this family, right? A silent listener to every conversation, and that governed my life throughout. A silent listener to every conversation. The one that sits with us, the unseen guest in the table, on the table when we eat. So allow those things to govern your life. I know you guys did have it too. Govern your life. Scriptures to govern your life. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said to Timothy, how from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures with plural, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. To make you wise unto salvation. Holy Scriptures is for this life, this earthly life. Marriage is for this earthly life. Right? It's for this earthly life. There is no marriage in heaven.
Yes.
You will know yourself with your celestial body. You will know your husband, but there is no marriage. Marriage is for this is for this life.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people I'm not a Christian because of this. I'm a Christian because I want to live a good life here on this earth. And the Spirit of Christ is what enabled me to live a good life on this earth. Live a victorious life. A victorious and a virtuous life. And when I do that sincerely, he saved me. He shifts me into heaven. And I've seen heaven in my dreams. As a human person, in my dreams of the night, I've seen heaven. The Lord has shown me things about hell. In John chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so what am I trying to... Holy it's all connected to Holy Scriptures that will make you walk in a certain way and elapse you into heaven.
Yes.
Paul told Timothy, he says, continue in the Holy Scriptures. He says in the last days among the youth that religious things will happen. Men will be lovers of themselves. You know what they talk about these days? They talk about abortion. Abortion should not be politics. It should not be politics. In fact, it shouldn't even exist there. It's a sin. It's a sin because that which is being conceived by the woman in the womb, it's a human life. It's just a sin. There's nothing political about abortion. All right? All right? But let me say this. It should be something that should be taught by our places of worship. Our places of worship should condemn it. It's morally wrong. It should be taught by our schools. Morally wrong. It should not be something that they should play politics with. Right? The same thing with what is it called? Transgender, same-sex marriage. This new thing called same-sex marriage. It's not even our culture. It's unchristian, very unchristian. It's one of the wiles of the devil. And some churches are incorporating it into their curriculum and into their doctrine. This is completely wrong. It's completely wrong. It's against the word of God.
Yes.
It says in the last days, youth have to be free from these things. And I see our youth clinging to it. The same thing with bad doctrines. Some say diversity, open up. Open up. And they try to mix Islam with Christianity, with the gospel of Christ. No. No, Islam is not the gospel of Christ. It is not. It will never be. Will never be, because Christ never, Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad never accepted the cross of Christ. Yeah, I talk about God, but he never accepted the cross of Jesus Christ. He never believed in the atonement of Christ. But we Christians, we believe in the atonement, we believe in forgiveness. They don't forgive. They don't forgive. Do a little thing, you see what they do to you. They will come as a thing. Just try to do a little thing. In fact, even when you don't do anything wrong, it is about the cross of Christ. It's about the Holy Scriptures that is able to set, make you wise unto salvation. And this is what we are talking about here when you talk about marriage, when you talk about family, when you talk about children growing up and succeeding in this life. So we give it back to the Archbishop. We thank God for his manifold blessings. Let's remain faithful to Christ and also to the Word of God.
Yes.
Let's continue to stand firm. Because the Lord will never forsake us. He will never forsake you. He will never forsake you. He will come on you with his immeasurable blessings.
That's true.
When the enemies rise up against you, like a frog or like fraud, even like frogs, the Lord will come against them and they will be scattered. They will be scattered because what you're doing is that you are doing the will of God and somebody is fighting to destroy you. God will raise up a standard and fight for you. He will fight for you. He will defeat your enemies. I've seen God defeat my enemies. I have seen God defeat my enemies. So this gives me the boldness to stand in the street and shout and tell my friends, even in the shopping center. Ask my wife, she will tell you, I'm not ashamed. Maybe I was a little bit feeble about it. But these days, I stand and shout because I have seen the goodness of God.
Yes.
No iota of the plan of the wicked one shall prosper. That's what the book of Isaiah, believe it and put it into practice and see it work out for you. No plan of the devil plan against you shall prosper. I've been praying for my little boy here. Last week the Lord showed me something. 2 days. 2 days. 2 days to the running out of the year 2022. I was very, very tired the previous day. I slept almost all night. And the following day, after my work, after what I had to do, I was here. My wife was back home here, and she cooked. She came back from my job, and we all ate. Kind of a prayer, and my little boy went to bed. My young son went to bed. And I reclined here. I told my wife, let me recline here. And I went sleeping again for 3 hours, or 2.5 hours. And when I woke up, it was 11:45. And I woke up to use the restroom. I greeted my wife. She was still doing her paperwork at work. You know, the medical office are doing her paperwork. And the Lord told me, use this time. It's only 2 days. The year is going to run out to pray for your son. My son has some difficulties. And I told the Lord, okay, I'm going to do that, but let me recline a little bit again on the couch for 2-3 minutes. And I didn't know that the Lord wanted to tell me something. He wanted to assure me of how deep that it's helped me and helped my prayer and helped my prayers. And it is something that I've been praying for about my little boy. And I saw, as I reclined on the couch for 2 minutes, I don't know whether it was in a dream or in a trance, but it was still this living room. But sometimes you know how you have a dream in your house, but your house doesn't really look like your house in the dream. But it was really as it is now. Our house here, our house that we've been living for years. I saw my father. My father was a... He was a state man, a government man. He was also a saint. He was also a bishop in the church. I saw my father. I saw my mother. I saw my brother's friend. I saw the other of my brother's friend, who also became my friend, like my mentor. And we were all great Christian people. And they came in, and when they came in, they said to me, Archbishop, you hearing me though? They said to me,
yeah.
We are coming in to pray for your son. For our son. They say your son, our son, Gabriel. And Gabriel came out and knelt down here at this part of the living room. He came out from that area and knelt down here. My wife was here. And they started praying. My father was leading the prayer. And as my father prayed, he prophesied as he prayed halfway through. He started prophesying. He said, the Lord Jesus is telling me that he's coming into this house now. And as he said he's coming. In 60 seconds, he will be here. Then he pointed at the door. The door was open.
He said to me, look, look. And I saw him coming with his angels, with some gifts, you know. I think those gifts were angels. My father said, he's coming with his angels. They will come. As he comes through the door, he's not going to be the human that he is. He's going to turn into a fool like wind or breeze. And you guys are going to feel the breeze or the wind blow on you. And as he said that, after about a few seconds, as I knelt down, when my father said that, we felt the breeze. It came very, in a very cool and majestic way, waving on us like this. You could feel it like the day of Pentecost. Like the day of Pentecost, in that particular trance or dream. And I woke up here. Instantly I woke up here. I could feel it. And I tried to shout. And I shouted. On the couch over there, I shouted. I could see my voice didn't come out. Then the fourth time my voice came out, I shouted on my wife's name. I shouted my wife's name. And she heard me. The third time that I shouted, she didn't hear me. But the fourth time, she said, what is it? What is wrong? What is wrong? I told her what happened. I told her what happened, but she said to me, those people were gone. I said, yeah, but Christ said that when a son dies, they are like angels. And we don't really know the real interpretation of that. We don't actually know the real interpretation. They are like saints. Like when the saints die, when the saints die, they are like angels. Angels. It says in the book of Matthew, they are like angels of God. And that interpretation came fully to my comprehension then. So what are we trying to say? What we are trying to say is, maintain yourself as a youth of Christ. Stand up for Christ. Stand up like Timothy. Stand up like Titus. Stand up like John the Apostle, who was very young. I think they say he was the youngest of all the apostles. In fact, some of the apostles were older than Christ. Remember, Christ died at the age of 33. In Nigeria, at the age of 33, he was still a youth. He died and suffered and he died and he became resurrected. Stand out and the Lord will support you. And he will send people in this age, in this particular world, to help you and to support you. Amen. It's going to be difficult. Sometimes, yes, it's going to be difficult. Difficulty is going to come. Like I just told you about my son. The Lord has promised us victory, and we are waiting for that victory because God works in seasons and in times and tides. In times and tides, Christ works. So it's going to work out for you. Don't be discouraged, you. Don't be discouraged. Keep on working hard. Whatsoever that you are planning and thinking, whatsoever that you are aspiring for, so far it is by the will of God. Continue asking. He will open that door for you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and it shall find. Give, and it shall be given. Give, ask, and it shall be given unto you.
Yes.
Some time ago, years ago, I went there, I had a pastor, a white guy who was a friend. And I went to his church, Baptist Church, University Baptist Church. And he preached on that. I've been hearing it right from my youth. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and it shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. And he said, why? Just like Christ said. And it became so instantly simple for me, clear to my mind. And he said, knock. Knock. If it's not open one time, keep on knocking. 100 times it will be open unto you. 2 times it will be open unto you.
Yeah.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Continue seeking. You will find.
Yes.
You will find. You will wipe away your tears.
Right.
We thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Amen.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God. We thank God for Professor Solomon, Professor Solomon and Paul. God has blessed us today. I tell you, we learned a lot from him. He has taught the world in various universities and so on. And he also preaches in churches.
Yes, the 45 saints.
Many church pastors that want to invite
him.
Feel free to invite him to speak in church program. It's available. The word of God. Professor, we are really glad we got a lot from you tonight. We are blessed to have our honorable Bishop Okona who is online too. Welcome, sir.
I salute you, man of God. I'm in the poor, but I die in.
Yes.
And I think it's good for me to be a listener. To hear what is going on.
Evangelist Mama Lawal, Olayinka Lawal, she's going to share with us now. And then we can have you share with us also. Today is just messages, you know. Messages of God, what God is saying to the people at the beginning of the new year, what advice do you have for the people the beginning of the new year, what do you want to say to encourage people to move on to vision? So we want to hear now from our mother in Christ, Honorable Lady Evangelist Mama Lawal, Olayinka Lawal, the mother of many nations, helping the children, the youth, and helping people to move on with the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel of Jesus. Hey, there's so much noise. One of the phone lines is very noisy. One of the phone lines. Is that my okay? Yeah, it's okay now. We got it now. Oh my God. One of the phone lines is very noisy. All right, so we want to turn it over to Lady Evangelist Olayinka Lawal to share with us what God has put in our heart for this year for the people. Over to you, Mama. Over to you.
So, Father, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to be able to share here with the people this new year. So what I'm sharing with the people is the power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And the name of Jesus Christ is the frontier. We all run into it, and we are safe. If anybody that is alive that will be doing anything, the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful and anointed name in heaven and on earth. This name is available for us to call in times of challenge. By calling this dynamite name, dynamite means fire. By calling this dynamite name of Jesus, the rocks and mountain of life we surely melt. We surely know that the name of Jesus is for healing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
We must all be healthy this new year. This year, 23, we are in. We must be healthy. Acts 3, chapter 6. And let it be known to you.
Mm-hmm.
and to all people of sisters that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead by him, this man stand here before you whole. Acts chapter 4, verse 10.
Amen.
He can only be made whole by the name of Jesus. And we all know that so many men have risked their lives for the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Acts 15:26. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Unity is only found in the name of Jesus Christ, that there should be no division among you, that you should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same God. Unity through the name of Jesus Christ is very important. And we are told in Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of that Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved.
Yes.
That's the name we should call to be saved this year. 1 Corinthians 5:4 says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, all of us are gathering together now, along with my spirit, with the power of Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was even born by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Was conceived by the Holy Spirit. When we are gathered together along with the Spirit of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is present. And we must be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. The name of Jesus Christ must be glorified and must be exalted this year.
Amen.
You in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 12. The grace. We need the grace and mercy of God Almighty. Those two words are very powerful. Grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. We need the grace and mercy of God this year. But we commanded you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly.
Amen.
And not according to the tradition which we receive from us. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. You must not be associated with any brother that walks disorderly. We must not do that this year. When we call on the wonderful name of Jesus Christ daily, the name of Jesus Christ must be called daily in our prayers. Meditate on his name. When we do the supernatural happen in our life, when we meditate in the name of Jesus Christ daily, the supernatural happens. This name of Jesus Christ is the name the Almighty Father reckoned with. And this is the name the Holy Spirit himself can hear, speak and declare to you. The Holy Spirit will only speak and declare the name of Jesus to us. It is a great privilege for us to study and be acquainted with this distinguished and marvelous name.
Amen.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6 about this wonderful name. We all know Isaiah 9:6, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 contains around 7 main points. Remember the name of Jesus Christ, that the name of Jesus Christ is power. So when you call upon this name of Jesus Christ in prayer, by calling the name of Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the evil, we are closer to him, we are healed, we are blessed. Wherever we are in life,
they start calling that wonderful name, marvelous name of Jesus. Whether we are inside the house, whether we are inside our car, whether we are outside, we are told that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omnipotent, that is very powerful. Omniscience, he knows about everything. Omnipresent is present everywhere. That's why you must call on that name. If we open our mouth, we see how he shows us supernaturally to address our situation. When you call on the name of Jesus Christ, he addresses every situation we are going through. You know, Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He destroys the works of the devil. The name of Jesus is one that we run into it and we are saved. This is the only name that can be called upon as prescription. If you call the name of the Lord God Almighty, that's your medication. That's the balm of Gilead. And you know he's the great physician, the head of all physicians. The name of Jesus will fix all things in heaven and on earth and below. The name of Jesus is very powerful. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith.
He's
the beloved Son of God. He's an advocate. You don't need a lawyer. He's one's lawyer. He's the blessed and only potential. Bless you. He's the bread of life that feeds us on a daily basis. John 6:32. He's the bread of Almighty. If not because of Jesus Christ, we might not be alive today. Bridegroom. Bridegroom means an husband. Without him, no marriage. The captain of our salvation. Without Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He said the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus Christ has come to give us abundant life because he's our shepherd. He said we should not listen to the voice of a stranger, but his own voice. And he said no one shall snatch us or kidnap us from the shepherd Jesus Christ, that we be not perish. It's our consolation. It's our comforter. It's our counselor. Nobody can counsel you like Jesus. He's our deliverer. The name of Jesus, when you call on the name of Jesus, you are free. He's the desire of every heart. He's the door we go in and out and find pastor. He's our everlasting Father. He's the faithful witness. He's the first and the last. He goes before us, Hebrews 6:20, our forerunner. He's the fountain of living water. It's the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 45 is our glory. The Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. Matthew 2:6 is the governor of the nation. He's our high priest. Hebrews 4:14 is the head of the church. His only child. They have been told about the youth that they should exhibit life of holiness and righteousness. Is Emmanuel the God with us? If Jesus is not with us, Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel, we are told by the professor that the appearances of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's residing with us, he's dwelling with us. The abiding presence of Jesus Christ, our intercessor. Although we call ourselves intercessor, Isaiah 53 verse 12, Jesus Christ is our intercessor. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, interceding for us. What do we know that we are interceding about? That Jesus is the one that intercedes for us. The groaning which cannot be uttered. He's Jehovah, he's Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ our Savior. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. He's the judge. He's the judge. He's a doctor. He's a judge. He's a king. He's king of all kings. He's the lawgiver. He's the leader and the commander. He's the one that leads us and commands us. He's the way, the truth, and life. We go out on a daily basis. Who can serve our life? It's Jesus. He's the light of life. He's the light that presents over darkness of our life. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah.
We
are hidden of a lion. Nobody can threaten us. They will be torn into pieces. Samson teared the lion into pieces. You know, we know that Samson was born with power. That's the same thing that makes sense. Lord of glory. Glory is upon our life. Isaiah 53 verse 3 is a man of sorrow. He has already carried our sorrow. Don't have to be sorrowful. He's the messenger of covenant. Malachi 3:1. All the covenant of Jesus Christ, we receive it through the blood that he has shed. It's upon this covenant we are of Jesus Christ, we are all relying on. He's the Messiah, the mighty God, the morning star. It's our Passover. This Passover is the using of the blood of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 5:7. When you put the blood of Jesus on the lintel and doorpost of our house, we are secured. Angels of destruction just pass over. It's the Prince of Life. It's the Prince of... Without Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9:6, without Jesus Christ, we cannot have peace of our mind, peace and rest of mind. It's a prophet, too. It's our Redeemer. It's the resurrection and life, which is John 11:25. If you call the power of resurrection and life upon every situation that is dead in one's life, they will receive life. It's the rock. We hide inside him, and we are saved. He's the Savior. He's the shepherd, the bishop of our soul. He's the word of God. There's nothing you use the word of God for. The word of God is a solution to any problem in life. Revelation 19, Jesus is the word of God. He's the truth. He doesn't tell lies. He's our witness. He's the son of righteousness. He's the son of the highest. The son of God. So, we must make sure this year we cling unto the powerful name of Jesus. As we connect with the power that is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all challenges of our life will be taken care of, and we will have perfect peace because he is the Prince of Peace.
Yes,
may God
yes.
bless his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I really enjoyed that. The evangelist, he's a real blessing, and he's a counselor, evangelist, and Bible teacher. He's also available to preach in churches and universities. He's inviting to contact us for prayer and counseling. Mama, we are glad we receive the love from you tonight, and I need God blessing you fully. We have Sabukun and Sabo on the line.
Thank you, sir.
If I have going to share with us whatever word of encouragement, well, what do you want to say to the general public? We have so many people on Facebook, Twitter, link, on YouTube. People are watching on YouTube, and some are listening on the phone, and some are on the radio with us. And then here is a Twitter, a link, and a Facebook. So many people are joining us in this broadcast. We have Bishop Okona Kwabo. He's going to share with us what is God saying to the people this beginning of the year. What is your advice to people? What should they do to live successfully this year? As a man of God, What is your word of encouragement to the people for them to follow Jesus Christ throughout 2023? Over to you, Honorable Bishop Okuna Kwau.
I'm actually man of God, like I said earlier. I'm driving now, and I think the men of God already said so much, especially when I heard the man of God talking about how young people need to live and having the wisdom that comes from above. The Bible
says,
and makes it very clear that I think that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
Which therefore means that if anybody is going to say that he or she is wise, if God is not the paramount person in the life of that person, then whatever they have as wisdom is not the true wisdom. It's not the true knowledge. So my word to God's people is that we don't just have to have a head knowledge of God.
Mm.
We don't just say it because we believe in God simply because we have the heritage of Christianity.
Yeah.
Because if it is something that we are doing because we grew up in the church, or because we profess that we Christians, simply because we think that we were born naturally into a church-going family or the part of the world that talks about you're a Christian because you come from the section of the world that generally believes in Christ. It's got to be a unique and personal experience. And not only that, it's got to be having a deep relationship with God. There are so many people that are operating in superficiality. So to be able to live and walk in wisdom and allow the wisdom of God to prevail is going to be being completely sold out and totally dependent on God, which has nothing to do with the situation and the conditions that we're exposed to.
Yes.
In all things, we would see the sovereignty of God, the supremacy of God manifest in our lives. As long as we completely are sold out unto him.
Yes.
So to operate in wisdom and experience the wisdom of God, whether for the young or for the elders, does need to be completely surrendered and submitted unto the Lord God. And this is something that God himself works out in our lives. After all, there's none as great and as wise as our God. If he's the author of all things and the architect of all things and the source of all wisdom and knowledge, then who should we incline to? push we completely, it'd be sold out. Because whatever is the wisdom and the knowledge of this world, it's completely incomparable to that which comes from God. And why I am not against the scholarship, I do believe in scholarship, because if I didn't have education, I probably would not communicate like I'm communicating now.
Yes.
So, but in spite of all that, the real wisdom and the true wisdom that we need must be completely based on our God. It's not an intellectual thing, because there are too many people that are very intellectually inclined who may not necessarily have the wisdom of God operating in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, a scholarship is very important. There are so many that have also truly inclined themselves unto the Lord.
Yes.
And have been wonderful scholars, not only because they attended great colleges, but because they completely yielded their lives unto the Lord, and God therefore took them to greater heights, and they were able to explore and become vessels and agents that have helped to enlighten us more and more.
Yeah,
Apostle Paul was well-read, well-educated, but he said all that he had known and gained, he counted like dung because of the excellency of the name of Jesus, having come to know the Lord our God, which means that our wisdom, everything we do should come from God, and we should be completely dependent upon our God.
Yeah.
And I heard my brother there, the evangelist, talking about the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And as he was speaking, I was listening, and it was deposited in my spirit. Why is the name of Jesus above every other name?
Yes.
Why is the name of Jesus so important? Remember, the scripture says that our God is omnipotent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so he is also omniscient. And his sovereign, if Jesus' name has to be used, if we have to incline to the name of Jesus, it means we're actually yielding and opening up to the sovereign and omnipotent and the Almighty God.
Yeah.
And so, God's people, that name is very, very important.
Yeah.
But it's not got to be used as a magic wand.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I said something about the wisdom, it's got to be such that we are completely yielded and surrendered unto the Lord. So I just felt like saying that. So, man of God, thank you for asking me to share some words to exhort and to encourage God's people.
Yes. That was a good one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, somebody just came in. Is that a Prophet Ivan?
No, this is Prophet Nikki. Prophet
Nikki. Oh, Nikki, you're welcome. Oh, God bless you. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank
yeah,
God.
Prophet Nikki, this another woman of God. God has been using mightily, reaching out to the media, evangelism, and so on. And Nikki, welcome. Today's program is more of we are sharing messages of encouragement to people at the beginning of the new year. What do you want to say to the general public? How should they live this year in the presence of God? How would they be triumphant and successful and victorious Christians this year, 2023? What is your advice to people? This is the first week or second week of the year. So if a lot of people want to know what advice as a woman of God, what advice do you have for people how to live their lives in 2023? We want to hear from you too. We want to hear from you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. My advice to people is we should be faithful to God, and I will try to live a holy life and a righteous life to God. Because the Bible made us to understand that the Lord is searching for those who will serve him in spirit and in truth. So that's my own advice. We should put more effort we should go for evangelism more, because there are so many people outside there that they really need God too. So we shouldn't be greedy to our own self. We should go outside there and evangelize and bring people to the kingdom of God too. So that is my own advice.
Yes. Before we pray, there is something very important I want to share, and then we will pray. It is in the statistics that the United States of America is number one nation when it comes to divorce, separation, broken homes, broken families, broken relationships. This is not a good testimony about this country. It is something many other countries are practicing. But we want to pray against that spirit. That spirit is misleading, it's misguiding.
No, I'm going to come down nothing.
And the people are moving in another direction. They are redefining marriage. They are redefining marriage. The other day in the news, somebody wedded a dog. did wedding with his dog. Another one married a pussy cat.
Ah, very good. Voila.
A lot of things that are going on, they did not stop at homosexualism and lesbian. They are not stopping there. they are not stopping at homosexualism and lesbianism. They didn't stop there. They are now marrying animals. They now have dogs as their husbands. A lot of things are going on, and the rate of divorce and separation is just too much. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, those two cities were destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. God passed judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah because they were practicing sexual perversion, immorality, and inordinate affection. Sexual perversion, and God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of those type of things. I want us to pray right now that God will heal this nation and other nations, other parts of the world that are affected too. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I, God, will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. God wants to heal our land. Our nations are sick. The problem is not just economy alone. When there is evil like this, God is not happy, and anything can happen. There could be judgment. They will read the Bible. The judgment in the Bible, and we don't want to. I remember Dr. Billy Graham before he went to be with the Lord. Dr. Billy Graham, he said, if this trend continues, we might have another Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we become Sodom and Gomorrah, that means there's judgment coming. We pray it shouldn't happen. I want us to pray right now that God should heal homes and families and marriages. Relationships, God should restore homes where there is confusion. God should restore marriage. Marriage should be defined. It is man and woman. It's not woman with woman. It's not man with man. You know, God should restore this nation to the righteousness. Righteousness has brought the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35. Righteousness has brought the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're not going to allow sin to have dominion over us. No, it's not going to happen. Christians, people of God, servants of God, ministers of God all over the world, this is a serious prayer. We need to pray that God should bring solution to this problem. We don't want judgment to come. Now the whole world is preparing for Third World War. We don't know whether all these are the judgment we're talking about. They are producing more nuclear weapons. They are employing soldiers. They want the military to be at least 3 million people. Every nation is they are recruiting military now. Every nation wants to have at least 3 million or 4 million or 5 million. They are preparing for Third World War. It shouldn't be. These are problems. And while we are talking now, Russia and Ukraine are still having their issues. And the prices of gas have gone up. The whole of Europe is in confusion. And many parts of the world, they no longer have food supplies because Ukraine, where the food is coming from, the war is going on there. Russia is not allowing rest of mind and peace. And a lot of confusion. All this, God should heal our nation. to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I will heal the land. God wants to heal our nation, but we must pray as God's people. So, brethren, we want to pray right now that God should heal our nation and bring righteousness to rule, because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. Whereas righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness promotes. Righteousness upgrades. Righteousness uplifts. Righteousness is a blessing, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we're going to pray right now that righteousness will reign in our lives, in our nations, in our churches, in our communities, in our society, in our government. Righteousness should reign. Sin is a reproach to any people. Where there is righteousness, there is peace and joy and the love of God. Please let us pray, brethren. Let us pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let the Son of Righteousness arise, O my God. The Son of Righteousness. We thank you, Almighty God, for all things subject unto you. Subject unto you in this nation and in the nations of the world. Thanks of inordinate affection. We come against you in the name of Jesus. And your powers and principalities that work against godliness. We overcome you by the power of the blood and by the name of Jesus. Oh, heaven and holy God, we come and manifest your power, manifest your glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For interrupting in our condition, in our situation, the nations of the world, in Africa, Amen.
We're also going to pray for many people that are in need. A lot of people are suffering. We are hearing now that the coronavirus is trying to come back again. It shouldn't be so at all. We want to pray for those who are sick, those who are having issues. And we are also hearing that the economic depression has started, and they are attacking workers in different places, and so many economic problems and so on and so forth. Some parts of the world, they don't have food to eat. Some people don't even have food to eat. How much more clothes to wear or how to stay? And all this is going on around the world. We want to pray God to intervene and bring solutions to the problems of families and homes and children and husbands and wives. God should heal our people and give them divine health, divine healing, long life and prosperity in the name of Jesus. We refuse the spirit of untimely death. Every spirit of sickness and disease and poverty and hardship, we rebuke them. We cast them away in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. Christ has given us life and life abundantly, which are lived and declared the works of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that arises against us in judgment is condemned. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh Rabba Baba Yablagada, Blagada. Yes, Lord, let's ask God to touch the people right now with his healing power. Let God touch the people with his miracle working power.
Whatever
Lord, I'm casting out of my ways in the name of Jesus. He does give us life and a life more abundantly. In the name of Somebody, the enemy is trying to steal your glory. The enemy is trying to steal your glory, your blessing, what is meant for you. The enemy is trying to steal it. Put your right hand on your chest and say, God, I shall not be robbed of my glory. I shall not be robbed of my blessings. I shall not be robbed of my favor and grace. I shall not be robbed. In the name of Jesus. The devil came to steal, to destroy. Jesus came to give me life and life and abundance. Satan, lose your people. Oh, you cannot rob us. Satan, you cannot rob us. You must be through. You cannot rob us of our blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Arabasaya, you say, you say, you God is showing me another person with a liver. One of your kidneys having problems. Somebody with a kidney problem. Put your right hand on your stomach. And somebody with a kidney problem. One of the kidneys is rupturing. It's like there's going to be surgery. And it's like one of the kidneys is going to be removed. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. We cancel that arrangement. In the name of Jesus, we destroy that arrangement. In the name of Jesus Christ, Harabasaya, Baba, Baba, Baba.
Hallelujah.
We cancel every surgical operation, every arrangement of Satan to make people of God to go for surgery. We cancel them by the blood of Jesus. We are healed and healthy. In the name of Jesus, Christ has given us divine health, divine healing in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We will not be sick in the name of Jesus. Our children will not be sick. Our families will not be sick in the name of Jesus. We receive divine health, divine healing for every one of us on this prayer line. In the name of Jesus, receive supernatural divine healing, touch of God, your spiritual and body, your life, your home, your family, your finances. May the name of Jesus receive.
Amen. Amen.
God is showing me somebody is traveling by air. The aeroplane is in the air. And there is a problem in the aeroplane. And the aeroplane is having a problem. And it's going to make an emergency landing or trying to avoid a crash. Yes, we are going to pray. All our journeys this year, there's a crash. There's a crash. The blood of Jesus for our going out. The blood of Jesus for our coming in.
Covered
my land, my air, my sea, my road. We are covered with the blood of Jesus.
We cover them under the blood of Jesus.
That's our food against his soul in the name of Jesus.
That we intervene. There's something. Your sovereign Lord over all. Nothing that you cannot turn
around.
Oh, Almighty God.
Angels of God that come around us. In the name of Jesus Christ,
your people, wherever human beings are traveling, we make a declaration that the angels of the Lord would shield.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We thank God for everyone being participating. God reward you all abundantly. We're going to have the same section tomorrow again by 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. I tell you, God is doing great things. Let us all come in and invite people to come. Let us all share and receive the blessings of God. God will continue to reward us. We shall live throughout this year triumphantly and victoriously in the name of Jesus Christ. We have Bishop Okona Kwabo to say a closing prayer for us before we draw the curtain.
Holy Triune God, we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We thank you for the ministration today.
Yes, Lord.
Even through your vessels of honor.
Yes,
but we
Lord.
Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit that has been with us. Eternal God, as your people continue this new year, may you be their God, and may they continue to be your people.
Amen.
Oh, strengthen and empower every one of us.
Yes.
Amen.
That we will continue to be living testimonies.
Yes.
Amen.
Even to the ungodly. That we
yes.
will become more of the vessels of honor to challenge one another to a deeper walk with you.
Yes.
Thank you for the blessings of God,
yes.
both spiritual and temporal, that
yes.
you
Amen.
Are pouring upon your people,
hmm.
that we shall not lack any good things.
Amen.
Thank you, my God. Strengthen the hand of your servant
yes,
as
Lord.
He continues to be a vessel to lifting up other people and
yes.
touching lives. Thank you, Almighty God, in the name of our living God, Jesus
Amen.
Christ, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So let's say the grace. Amen. Let's say the grace in fellowship. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all. now and forevermore. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
God bless you. Amen.
Yes. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Amen. Fakapa, Shanda, Babalegede, Indala, Ubu, Sanda, Babalegede.